You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
This is the Alternative Media, exposing government corruption, defending our suspended constitution, demanding the rights of we the people, broadcasting the truth, the puppet media dare not report. Long live liberty and death to the New World Order. Prepare yourself. This is the Alternative Media.
And welcome to the Alternative Media. This is your Saturday broadcast where we discuss current events, politics, the disinformation, lies, deceit, and propaganda, the mainstream, corporate-owned puppet media, and the fact that the federal government of the United States no longer has any resemblance whatsoever of representation of we the people. It is Saturday, November 23rd, 2019. We're in hour two of the broadcast. And I've got a lot of ground I'd like to cover. Probably take calls after the first break. Did you know that this past week, Jesse Smollett, the big hoaxer, the faker himself, is suing Chicago over his arrest? Yeah. Jesse Smollett says the $10,000 he was mandated to pay after the criminal case against him was closed should prevent the city of Chicago from seeking reimbursement for the police investigation following his claim back in January, that he was a victim of racist, homophobic attacks. It's hard to believe that was January, you know. Attorneys for the former Empire actor filed a response Tuesday in Chicago's lawsuit in federal court. They also filed a counterclaim against the city, saying Smollett was the victim of a malicious prosecution that caused him humiliation and extreme distress. Only in America, right? I mean, this guy, the most see-through, obvious hoax, you know, he's still wearing the supposed news, the 2 a.m. in the middle of the night out at Subway, runs up on two white supremacist, racist, MAGA hat wearing haters that beat him up, and I'm here to tell you, if he did run up on two white supremacist, racist haters in the middle of the night, and those wanting to beat him up, if it's like any of the friends I've got, you'd have more than that little panty-ass black eye he had. But hoaxed the whole event, got caught. I mean, it was so... I mean, had it all. This one, the news, you know, the whole nine yards. The black guys that were in on it with him all came clean about it. It's all out in the open. And now he's suing the city for the humiliation that was caused, which he brought on himself, and the extreme distress, which was, I guess, him being outed as the fake hoaxer that he is. That's not NBC Nightly News with Lester the Super Cuckold. It's not going to cover that. Also, I would like to say that I find it humorous and interesting that in the shampeachment and the hearsay hearings, when they would cut back, and I have to watch NBC, so that's why I'm always picking on NBC. I don't get that many channels over their antenna. I refuse to pay for cable or DirecTV or any of that. Every time they cut to a break, they would bring in Andrea, the Sleestak Mitchell, and a Cuck's Cuck Todd to tell you what to think about it. And it's always so biased. I mean, it's so obviously biased. It's unbelievable. Chuck Todd is just a professional biased liar. He gets a paycheck for being just a biased liar. And they always parade them two out. Andrea Mitchell, who was born in 1913. And Chuck Todd, and they tell you what you're supposed to think about it. Chick-fil-A will reportedly stop donating money to charities, including the Salvation Army and Fellowship of Christian Athletes, following pressure from the LGBT PB groups. The company announced Monday that it is refocusing its charitable foundation to a smaller number of charities, focusing exclusively on education and hunger. Our goal is to donate to the most effective organizations in the area of education, homelessness, and hunger. No organizations will be excluded from future consideration, faith-based or non-faith-based. Tim Tassopoulos, president and COO of Chick-fil-A, said in a statement, Chick-fil-A's ultimately Chick-fil-A's just caving from the pressure. They've had a lot of pressure put on them because they actually had a stance for some form of morality, some form of decency, some form of opposition to homosexuality. And, well, now you can't have that and simultaneously live in a all-day gay pride parade. So Bank of America sponsors the pride parade in Charlotte, which is a city in rapid decline, trust me. And so we are seeing more and more of the eradication, the elimination of the ability to stand for any kind of morality because you're not tolerant. Did you see how the tolerant left was reacting to Ann Coulter speaking at Berkeley? what was that, 2 nights ago? I'm not sure. In the last few nights. Big arrest, police in riot gear, because the tolerant left came out to show their opposition to Ann Coulter, which I don't even think of her as being a controversial figure. You know, we've talked about this before. It used to be, like in the 60s, colleges was where controversial people considered controversial at that time would go and speak, and it was considered a good thing to have ideas of maybe ideas that are considered in the minority, like, say, a George Lincoln Rockwell would go and speak. Some of those speeches are still on YouTube, but now that's not the case. No, we don't want to hear from people that are maybe in a political, have political diversity. We can't have political diversity. We can have every other kind of diversity, and it's all great, but not that one. We don't want these people to be able to speak. And, you know, just like back to the first story where Jacob Goodwin not only is in prison, he's being sued by Andre Harris, who got all that money from the GoFundMe page. Remember that? So, I mean, the court system now, as the story I did from deepstate.news, the court system now is weaponized. Just like all the people that's being sued, is caught up in suits from Charlottesville that wasn't organizers, maybe was attendees, some people being sued that didn't even attend. That all of that is being created for the absolute elimination of groups being able to come together and openly discuss their political views. You know, when I had Georgia Peach on, she was talking about what happened in California. You can see what's happening with the prayer rallies that they have out there. They're making it where it's not safe, where it's legal for you to be beat up, but you don't have the same rights with regards to if you're attacked. That's the new normal. And it is widespread. And guess what? We're going to get more of it. Syracuse University Chancellor Kent Siverud has signed a list of student demands. And I just wanted to read out some of these demands. That was in the news this past week. They claimed they found the swastika. And you know who normally puts them up. And they had some racial tension. They were interviewing the young adults. They were all, we're in fear. We don't feel safe because of racial incidents. Here is what he has, this is the 20 demands, and he has agreed to 17 of them and said that he was going to basically agree to all of them, but there was a few things on three he was going to change. I don't know which three. Now, this is the demands that the student body, which in this case is primarily black activists, punishment including expulsion for any student involved in racist incidents, including perpetrators and bystanders. So, you know, if I'm standing around there, if I was a student, somebody put up, it's okay to be white sign, I'd get expelled, I guess, for being there or not calling the police or whatever. Updated mandatory diversity education for incoming students for all newly hired faculty and staff. You got to have that diversity training now. Clearer policy against hate speech. So any speech they don't like, we want that to be hate speech. Housing options for students to live in multicultural living communities with roommate options based on mutual interest or identities. Get that transgenderism going, I guess. More counselors who better represent the student body, including counselors who can speak languages native to the students. So hire counselors for all of the vast languages that you're importing into the college. Dedicated space for multicultural affairs offices and organizations focused on students of color. Do more for everybody except white people. Additional financial aid for students of color. Do more for everybody but white people. $1 million for a revamped curriculum that addresses racism. $1 million to create some whitey bad curriculum. And the chancellor here, who is just a super cuck, has caved to all this. They're letting the colleges, letting the students dictate everything about policy to the faculty. So I just wanted to say, because when NBC Nightly News ran the story, you really got not a lot of information about what actually they were demanding. So that is it right there. I tell you what, I got some clips and I've got some other stories. One thing came to my mind this week that's never talked about, and that is the Nauriah testimony. You remember it was the false testimony given before the Congressional Human Rights Caucus on October 10, 1990 by a 15-year-old girl who provided only her first name, Nauriah. The testimony was widely publicized and was cited numerous times by United States Senators and George Herbert Walker Bush in the rationale to back Kuwait in the Gulf War. In 1992, it was revealed that Nauriah's last name was al-Sabah and that she was the daughter of Saud al-Sabah, the Kuwait ambassador to the United States. Furthermore, it was revealed that her testimony was organized as part of the Citizens for a Free Kuwait Public Relations campaign, which was run by the American public relations firm Hill & Knowlton for the Kuwait government. Following this, al-Sabah's testimony had come to be regarded as a classic example of modern atrocity propaganda. So I just wanted to remind everyone, you know, we talk about the USS Liberty or 9/11 or 7/7 or Waco, but that right there was a classic example of someone bull-faced lying to the federal government. That's lying to Congress. If you're looking for something like they're trying to hang on Roger Stone. But you know what? After all that came to light, I remember when it all came to light, and it all went away. There was no congressional hearings. There was no putting her or any of these other lawyers or whatever in jail. It was just completely fabricated. Like, she told the lie about the babies being thrown out of the incubators, which enraged the public here in America, because nobody likes to think of babies that need to be in incubators being thrown out by mean Iraqis. And we'll never really know the effect that had on society's thinking, because there's a lot of people, when they hear the lie and it's broadcast on the mainstream media, then they never find out later that, oh, all of that was just complete BS. What? Yeah, but I just wanted to point that out. It came to my mind this week in light of Roger Stone, in light of the hearsay hearings. Heard it from a friend who... it is completely ridiculous. I tell you what, Ken, let's play video one. Let's play the Mark Dice right here, and then when we come back after the first break, we'll take calls, 1-800-313-9443, 1-800-313-9443. Video one, this is Mark Dice on the hearsay hearings.
Boring! Yesterday kicked off week number two of President Trump's impeachment hearing, and while last week turned out to be a gigantic nothing burger, this week's has even less substance.
Welcome to Impeachapalooza 2019. which is a Democratic plan to compel America to impeach President Donald J. Trump through the sheer force of boredom, because it's been a long day. And it turns out impeachment is very boring if you don't have any compelling or any condemning evidence.
While most of the hearing was so boring, it made watching the Yule log exciting in comparison. There were some important highlights that you as an American need to see.
The problem is, in an impeachment inquiry that the Speaker of the House says is all about bribery, where bribery is the impeachable offense, no witness has used the word bribery to describe President Trump's conduct. None of them. These aren't all of the deposition transcripts. These are just the 10 that have been released. 6 weeks of witness interviews in this impeachment inquiry, hundreds of hours of testimony, thousands of questions asked, thousands of answers given. The number of times that witnesses have been asked any question about whether or not President Trump's conduct constituted bribery before Ambassador Yovanovitch was asked by my colleague, Congressman Stewart, last Thursday, is zero. The number of times witnesses have used the word bribery or bribe to describe President Trump's conduct in the last 6 weeks of this inquiry is zero. In fact, in these 3,500 pages of sworn deposition testimony and just these 10 transcripts released thus far, the word bribery appears in these 3,500 pages exactly one time. And ironically, it appears not in a description of President Trump's alleged conduct. It appears in a description of Vice President Biden's alleged conduct.
Thank you, Congressman Ratcliffe, and even CNN's Dana Bash admits that this is just a Democrat tactic trying to pull one over on the American people.
The word bribery. And that was a political shift. We all heard Nancy Pelosi do it in her press conference last week. It was blatantly obvious that she used the word bribery intentionally because it packs more of a punch. It is more understandable for people because her goal is to penetrate public opinion. It has been. She's very open about that. And quid pro quo doesn't cut it. And that is a political aim. And, it is what it is. That is their goal.
Mr. Zeldin asked you in the deposition that in no way, shape or form, in either readouts from the United States or Ukraine, did you receive any indication whatsoever or anything that resembled a quid pro quo? Is that correct?
That's correct.
And the same would go for this new allegation of bribery?
I've only seen an allegation of bribery in the last week.
It's the same common set of facts. It's just instead of quid pro quo, now it's bribery.
I was never involved in anything that I considered to be bribery at all.
Okay, or extortion?
Or extortion.
Okay.
Oh, there's plenty more to come in this video, so stay tuned. But real quick, subscribe to my channel if you're new here, because as you may have heard, YouTube is burying conservative content because they don't want our voices to be heard. So subscribe to the channel and check back here every Monday through Friday, and we will continue sifting through the lies of the liberal media industrial complex.
A lot of people talking about their perceptions, their beliefs, their feelings even, what they heard and their understandings and their thoughts. Ambassador Taylor, Mr. Kent, Ambassador Yovanovitch, and Lieutenant Colonel Vindman all had conversations with each other and with other people and all had a whole bunch of hearsay. But I can assure you this boils down to just one thing. This is an impeachment inquiry concerning the President of the United States. So the only thing that matters, besides all these people talking to each other and all their feelings and all of their thoughts and understandings, it really only comes down to what did the President of the United States intend, and what did he say, and what did the Ukrainians understand or hear? Ambassador Volker, you're one of the first people that we've had in these open public testimony that's had conversations with both. So I get to ask you. You had a meeting with the President of the United States, and you believe that the policy issues that he raised concerning Ukraine were valid, correct?
Yes.
Did the President of the United States ever say to you that he was not going to allow aid the United States to go to the Ukraine unless there were investigations into Burisma, the Bidens, or the 2016 elections?
No, he did not.
Did the Ukrainians ever tell you that they understood that they would not get a meeting with the President of the United States, a phone call with the President of the United States, military aid, or foreign aid from the United States unless they undertook investigations of Burisma, the Bidens of the 2016 elections?
No, they did not.
You know, pretty much, Ambassador Volker, you just like took apart their entire case.
All right, so right there you had it. I mean, it's just, it's been exposed. This is the most ridiculous impeachment hearings in the history of the country. Coming back from the break, 1-800-313-9443 if you'd like to join in.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
We're back on the Alternative Media in the studio, writing down some of the insane news of the week. You want to hear some insane news? I got some right here in my ham. This is needtoknow.news. I'd like to say there's a lot of good websites out there. David Dandelin, the founder of the Center for Medical Progress, a pro-life organization, published undercover videos in 2015 of Planned Parenthood officials negotiating to sell of baby parts that sparked congressional hearings and a Department of Justice investigation into the abortion provider. In retaliation, Planned Parenthood filed a lawsuit accusing David and CMP and its members with illegal taping, fraud, racketeering. Judge William O'Rourke III, who has ties to Planned Parenthood, refused to disqualify himself and refused to allow a First Amendment free speech defense. A jury awarded Planned Parenthood over $2 million that includes punitive and compensatory damages as well as attorney fees. Pro-life defense lawyers will appeal, telling reporters outside the courtroom the process was unfair. Down to Del Dedin and Merritt are also facing 14 felony counts of illegal taping under California's anti-eavesdropping law. So this is the tapes that showed Planned Parenthood negotiating the sale of baby parts. If you understand what I'm saying, this went to court this week. And the judge ruled that they have to pay Planned Parenthood $2 million for making the tapes, and they're facing 14 different felonies. This is from LifeSite News. LifeSite News. I mean, unbelievable. 1-800-313-9443 if you'd like to join in. We're going to go to Frank in North Carolina. Frank, how you doing today?
Well, are you interested in talking about the weather? It's pretty mild out. It's gray. It's a gray November day. It's drizzling pretty hard. There's leaves falling, a lot of leaves on the ground covering stuff. It's a beautiful November day, and I'm probably going to go for a walk here in a little while when I'm listening to Dennis Fecho over on Revolution Radio. Take a walk back in the woods and enjoy it. Hey, you know, there's a lady that calls into your show sometimes, especially recently. Is it Lauren in Ohio?
It's Lauren.
She calls in at the end?
Yes, yes.
Okay, well. I mean, I've been awake for about 15 years, going on 15 years, I've heard her a lot over the years, and on different shows that I've listened to over the years. And she's good. She's good. I don't, I, you know, I, I just want to tell her I'm not directing any of my, anger at people like her. I understand she's exceptional. I think she's actually a former, I could be confusing her with somebody else, but I think she's a former pharmaceutical sales rep. So she probably have some interesting inside information on that sometime. But, I'm a reasonable person. I'm a rational, reasonable person. I don't hate, black people or anything like that. But I will tell you this, man. You had alluded to it earlier. I don't even watch that much news. I have antenna TV too, and I watch a little bit, man, just to see what's going on. I mean, crime is out of control in Charlotte. I'm talking about street level thug, just, totally, gangster-esque type crime. And it's all black male, man. I would say I know a lot of crime doesn't even get reported. Maybe a lot of the Hispanic crime probably doesn't get reported. They probably keep it inside the community. And I know, man, I've done work where I've had to be in some of those places in the middle of the night, and guns are going off and the cops don't even come. And there's places in Charlotte, by the way, I've had cops tell me this. They'll actually, before they go in to the hood, they'll actually fire their guns off in the air. Okay. Just to kind of try and scare, the bad guys away and let them know they're coming. That's how there's no go areas in Charlotte. Have been for decades, actually. We had big crime. Crime was real bad back in the mid 90s with crack cocaine. I used to see a lot of it, being dealt right out in the open, and some of the work I was doing. But, yeah, crime is out of control, man. I mean, they got them on film now because they're surveillance cameras. I mean, you got black guys just going down the street, hanging outside of windows of cars, just shooting randomly at people. Going down the road, man, and it's just—I mean, it's worse. And fortunately, it hasn't come to my side of town yet. But it's like I said before, we have there's a defense attorney that was on the news one night a week or so ago, and the defense attorney says Charlotte has a culture of crime and easy on crime. They're just—I mean, the blacks have taken over. The sheriff, the police chief, the assistant police chief, the fire chief. I mean, everybody's black, right? And I guess this is what's going to happen, man. It's going to become like Baltimore, I guess. But, you mentioned Andrew. Go ahead.
We're even seeing in Charlotte now where they plan this on social media, and all these people just come out on the streets in four-wheelers and dirt bikes, and it's complete lawless mayhem.
It's like that old movie from like 1981, The Road Warrior with Mel Gibson, except they're black. It's wild, man. It's just complete lawlessness, and all these cucked out white people and probably Jews that are kind of behind the scenes. They call themselves the city partners and whatever. Oh, they say there's no problem. No problem. No problem here. Move along. They don't care. But I was going to change subjects, but if you got something else to say, go ahead.
No, go right ahead. Go right ahead.
And you had mentioned Andrea Mitchell earlier and Chuck Todd. Well, I just happen to know that they're both Jewish. Okay, don't let the names fool you. Andrea Mitchell, and of course, as most of us know, she's the wife of the former Federal Reserve Chief Alan Greenspan, also a Jew. Chuck Todd, don't let that name fool you. He was born of a mother Jew, Bernstein, Lois Bernstein, all these people that you see on TV. There should be something on the crawler at the bottom of the screen, or they should have to identify themselves when they come on, that they're all Jewish. All the commentary, all the analysis of the impeachment and this and that and every other story about 9/11 back then and everything since, it's all freaking Jewish. As Nathaniel Kapner stated, and he's Jewish, he grew up in a Jewish neighborhood, going to synagogue, both parents Jewish, Jew, he's no longer considers himself a Jew. Well, he's still racially a Jew. Jew is a race. It's a whole lot of things. But anyway, quote, it's a Jew-ruined world, unquote. Nathaniel Kapner, that was November 19th, 2019, third hour of rents. If I could, if you could hold me over just for a minute.
Yeah, hang on, because I want to talk to you about the Jacob Goodwin appeal on the other side. Yeah. You're listening to The Alternative Media, 1-800-313-9443, taking calls for the rest of the broadcast.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, this is very important information. What's to be said about CBD? AncientLifeOil.com. Our CBD is made from hemp and has 0.003 THC, which means this wonderful product won't get you high, no matter what amount you take. What does CBD do for the body? My hands are tied, but you can Google CBD benefits and be astounded. When you're finished reading, you'll want to log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com and purchase. Life is good when you feel good. People are tired of pain. People are asking for non-GMO organic products to help them with, you fill in the blank. Legal in 49 states, and again, our CBD is made from hemp. Ancient Life Oil is about helping people, one by one by one. If you wonder how good the product is, the CEO takes it every day. Without miss. AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Have a great day.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
If you'd like to call in, 1-800-313-9443. Phone lines are open other than Frank, so if you want to get on, last week I don't think I was able to get everybody on, call in now, 1-800-313-9443. Back to you, Frank. I wanted to get your opinion to Jacob Goodwin. I've try not to stay focused on Charlottesville too awful much, but that had to be done. People need to know. That's such a travesty. Your opinion?
There, no surprise at all. I would have been shocked if anything different had happened. We're under a Talmudic tyranny here in America. I mean, this is Patrick Slattery, I give him credit for this one, I believe, a Judeta. By the way, I got some people here that are interested. They want to know what is the name of that judge again? You said Marla Decker?
I'll get it for you. I'll pull it back up. I've got it printed off here.
Okay. Yeah, it's a travesty of justice. It's just a sham. It's like, you know what it's like? I know you mentioned this movie. It's one of my favorite dark comedies, Idiocracy. You remember when they take him into court and they got that crazy judge with the crazy red hair and he's up there talking about how we gonna, that's what this is like, man. Idiocracy with, by Mike Judge and, it starred, never mind. I can't think of the guy. But anyway, that was a really a true telling movie. You have her name? Or
I am getting close.
Okay. While you're looking that up, people might want to write this down. I heard this through the grapevine that President Trump, is to be knighted, I guess, by the Queen of Ungreat Britain of England and England over there. So that's interesting. I wrote down Jacob Goodwin's address. I've been in correspondence with his mother some, since all this happened. And, I'm sure she's devastated. I'm sorry you can't get in contact with her. I don't have her phone number.
I did get her email from Michael, and if she gets back in contact with me, I'll be still more than happy to have her on. The opinion was Chief Judge Marla Graf Decker, November 12th, 2019. You can go online and find the Court of Appeals of Virginia and do a little Googling. It took me a little while. It don't come up on the first page, but you can find the PDF of the 23-page opinion, and it goes all through all of the jurors, just like what I was reading about these jurors admitting to being, you know, friends with Antifa, attending Black Lives Matter events, taking part in the counter protest. That's who's going to judge you as someone that was actually taking part in the counter protest. Just I was not surprised, but I mean, this day and age in America, to know that your courts are that level of corrupt is just unbelievable. I mean, it's so sad.
What's her middle name again?
Graff, G-R-A-F-F. Marla Graff, G-R-A-F-F, Decker.
Okay. We'll make a note of that.
Wrote the opinion.
She's a traitor. She's a traitor. And, you know, if we ever turn this around, people like her will be held accountable. If you want to come visit me, FBI, whatever, go ahead. I got nothing to say to you. Come with a warrant. I'm trying to remember. Jacob Goodwin, did he have any prior criminal record? Prior criminal record.
No prior criminal record, never been in any trouble with the law. To the best of my knowledge, he lived with his parents. I think he had a job. I mean, he seemed like just, you know, from my opinion, just good old country boy kind of guy. But, I mean, you know, this has been a life-destroying event the way it's been handled by the court system.
Yeah, I know his mother, you know, of course we know mothers are kind of biased, but, you know, they had described him as a... you know, a gentle giant who never hurt anybody. He wasn't going after this guy for himself. He was trying to get this thug, this black thug, who I believe was attacking an old white guy with a crowbar or a mag light or something. He was trying to get him to stop.
I know.
And I'm telling you, man, it's out of control. I'm sorry. You know, people say, Frank, you're falling for the trap. Don't fall into the trap. No. I'm not falling for a trap. I'm dealing with reality. You're falling for the trap. Man, when I hear white men defending the Jew, you know what? You're right. It's not the Jew that's the problem. It's you. It's you white guys out there that see our country being systematically destroyed, and you will go to your grave, your last breath, and the group of people that is behind it. You make me sick. Is that a good way to end it?
Good enough. Hey, thank you so much. Thank you so much. We're going to go to Paul in New Jersey. Then we got Miles in Maine, Jeremy in Kentucky coming up. Paul, thanks for holding. What's on your mind today?
Hello, Farron.
Hey, Paul.
Farron, since Frank was mentioning Lauren, I think she's from Indiana or something. And I wanted to, you know, weeks ago I wrote notes concerning her because, you know, she always, when she calls in, she always says how she's a proud black woman and that the races are being divided from above. So I would like to address Lauren. For one, if Lauren is proud of the black race, why didn't she marry a black man? I would argue that if you love your race, you breed within your race. And by the way, that goes for Candace Owens, who just married a white guy, and putting people who race mix in positions of authority as pundits and accepting them. I argue we should basically shun race mixers because they don't love their own race. Because if you love your race, you marry within your race. Now, Lauren said it's not a black-white thing, you know, about the racial conflict and struggle in the United States. But I would argue, hey, Lauren, have you checked the crime statistics? If it isn't a black problem, then why did 95% of blacks vote for Obama? Why are the perpetrators in most hate crimes against whites black? If blacks are our friends, when can we expect to see blacks marching for white victims or white police victims? Notice that. You never see blacks come out to protest the police beating up a white guy. They seem to only identify when blacks are beaten. She says America was based on Christian ethics. Does Lauren think the founders approved of interracial marriage? Last I checked, interracial marriage was illegal up until the late 50s in most states. Back in the 1700s and 1800s, they didn't even write laws in many states on interracial marriage because there was very little of it. Everybody knew it was wrong. And it was wrong within the Christian communities of those times. So the question is, are we more Christian today because we allow interracial marriage? Or have the Christians basically been co-opted by the cultural Marxists and accepted it? Because remember, I mean, by the way, I'm an agnostic, but I do understand what the Bible said and what Christians used to believe. In the old days, Christians would say, and quoting from, you know, and taking it from Genesis, that you're not to mix your seed and kind should mate with kind. So if Lauren is going to come out there like she's some kind of constitutional absolutist, why should we white men entertain the thoughts of a black woman that married a white man? Why should we even listen to her? And I mean, that's pretty hard, you know, like critique of Lauren, but why is she calling what is obviously a pretty much white identity movement and trying to foist herself off as like she's white or that black people are great when black people don't seem to be our friends? They don't vote for us. They don't vote in our interests. They vote against our interests. They voted on Obama. And why she wants to foist herself off when, like I said earlier, most of the hate crimes against whites are committed by blacks.
Well, let me do this, Paul. Lauren is on hold, and I want to make sure that we get to her and let her address this. I kind of hate to get infighting going on with the listeners, but I want to make sure she's got time to speak, and she's third. We've got Miles in Maine, Jeremy in Kentucky, and then Lauren coming up. So, that's Laura. May not be Lauren. Okay. All right. Anything else you would like to say, Paul?
I would just like to remind people, our founders, and if you love your founders, right, as people claim to be, and want to be like our founders, and wanted a country that our founders wanted, You should be against this interracial marriage and interracial dating agenda pushed by the cultural Marxists. And basically, we should avoid, shun, and defund those who promote or actually are in an interracial relationship. And by the way, that goes for Andrew Anglin and his love of Asian women, right? So we have to look at these so-called patriots, and we got to look at, always go to who are their wives, who did they marry, and also we should promote them having children and ideally large families within the white patriot community. But we should not tolerate this promotion of interracial marriage, just like our founders didn't tolerate it. And I think people need to take that to heart. You got that, Lauren? So if you're going to sit there and bring up every 5 minutes, by the way, she introduces these topics, Farron, and that's why I'm attacking her. She brings it up. I didn't introduce it. If she had just been quiet and doesn't have to, you know, and she always has to say, I'm black. And then she says, oh, race isn't a big deal. Then why did you bring up that you're black? And on that note, Farron, thank you.
Hey, thanks, Paul. It is amazing how much the commercials and the TV has changed promoting constant now in race mixing on television. Miles in Maine, then Jeremy, then Laura in Michigan, and I'll get to everyone. Miles, thanks for holding. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I think the good meritorious observations there by Paul. And, you know, I think Lawrence Frieda, if she wants to say she's black or someone wants to say they're Christian or white or Anglo or whatever, maybe she's just trying to format her what she's about to say a little bit better. I don't know. I'm just saying, I like all the calls on your show. I think are excellent. You know, Farron, I think you run an excellent show. Frank's a good call. You know, I hear Frank on other shows. He talks about you good and very accurately, and so I wouldn't be surprised if your numbers go up. But I was calling about this Jacob Goodwin and these different situations here. And, you know, what are groups, you know, until we get a group like, the Rutherford Foundation or the ACLU, or until we get somebody like this, I think it's futile, but I think these guys got to get somebody. And I think in Jacob Goodwin's case, and I may be wrong, I'm just making my own self analysis about it. I think what they need is since nothing's going on in this in the legal system for them as far as in terms of getting any benefit of their criminal charges being dismissed or dropped or anything. I think next is maybe they need to try a civil suit. Maybe they need an attorney that can bring them a Title 42, 1983, 85, 86 case against the judge, against the police chief, against the governor, against these jurors themselves. You know, I mean, that might perhaps be some type of conspiracy when you got three or four different jurors who are part of those organizations.
Well, you know what? What is so sad, Miles, is the whole court system is all based on money. And if he came from a family that was wealthy, he could afford to have countersuits and have, you know, spend $20,000-$30,000 on attorneys, which you can do at the drop of a hat. But the system is so rigged against the poor, and I think this, you know, this negatively affects people of color, everyone, the way the system is. But he's sitting in jail. He's got a court-appointed attorney, I'm sure, most likely. I don't know for certain. I wanted to ask Tamara. But the whole system has come, and really, in a sense, it's sad for, in my opinion, it's sad, very sad for Jacob Goodwin, James Fields, these other people. But this is a real window of insight for everyone to take a good hard look at just how completely corrupt and anti-white and biased the court system is. I'm going to give you the last word, Miles. I'm going to get everybody on, and we're running out of time. I'll give you the last word. Anything else you'd like to add? Thanks for the phone call.
Yeah, well, I just think that until you get the, you know, somebody involved here, whether it be the ACLU or Judicial Watch or somebody either volunteers or puts forth, takes us on to some kind of case, and I really do think that it may be civilly could be the best way and loosening that up to maybe then go back into the criminal case. But I think, you know, until we can get one of these organizations or people or money behind them for something to start somewhere, like I mentioned, I had Title 42, 1983, 85, 86 case or something to that effect, I think it's going to be such a hard road for these poor guys, and I pray for them all. You know, I pray for you too, Darren. So keep up the great work, and it's great to have the chance to listen to your show, and by doing that, we've got to contribute to RBN as well.
Hey, thank you so much for that. Thank you so much. Jeremy in Kentucky. Laura, stay on. I'll get to you. Jeremy, how you doing? What's on your mind today?
You're doing great. Just painting away. I'm enjoying the show. I'll be quick. First of all, we've all failed Jacob Goodwin as white identity movement, because if everybody that listened to Stormfront and RBN and even TRS, if we would have all given $5 a piece and some sort of a fund me, you know, we probably could have gotten him a decent lawyer, but, you know, that's starting with me. Start with me. We've all failed. But man, it's just hard to keep everything up. You know, we got to keep the radio stations up. We got to keep the voices up. And it's just hard. It's hard. $5 here and $5 there, you know? But that's one thing. But the next thing is, I want to, you know, trying to figure out where we should go from here politically. I've been definitely on the fence and back and forth on whether to support Trump in the election or not. You know, the bottom line, and what we covered a couple of weeks ago when I guest hosted your show, is that Trump is an avatar for us, for the white working class. We're not allowed to organize politically, so we have by default made Trump the voice for us. Whether he really is or not is another subject. He is. That's how he's seen. And therefore, when we attack Trump publicly, we're attacking ourselves. Now, I'm not talking about legit criticism that we do on these shows. That's totally legit. But I'm almost of the opinion that worse is not better. I would go so far as to say get Trump back in and buy us another 4 years. Will people really stand up and revolt if Elizabeth Warren gets in office and puts white nationalists in jail and clamps down? Will they really revolt? I don't think they will. I think the people of this generation are too dumbed down. And even if they did revolt, what would that look like? The Yellow Vests in France, that's been going on for a year. What have they accomplished? I like the Yellow Vest movement. I think it's awesome. I wish we could do that here, you know, legally protest. But, like, you know, the police just fire rubber bullets at them and raw water hose them down. One little girl was shot in the head by some dirty pig in France. I mean, it's like, if people did revolt, what would that look like? We need more than just 500,000 or even a couple million people. I mean, we need 60 million of these Trump voters to all be unison. And I think that's the only way we're going to legitimately take this back. And with that being said, I think the Groyper movement is legit. I think it's great that these young Zoomers, 18, 19, 20 years old, have the political wherewithal and insight to stand up to cucks like Charlie Kirk and kikes like Ben Shapiro and tell them, no, this is not our conservative movement. It's filled with drag queens and queers, and you do not represent us because you want to flood us and take our jobs with immigration. So the Groyper movement is legitimate, and we need to train this generation, Generation X. Everybody listening, find three Zoomers. I'm sorry, I'm Generation X. Find three Zoomers. That's who we need to train, is the Generation Z. Find three of them, red pill them, get them ready to vote in 2024. Buy us another 4 years with Blump, and maybe we can get through this. And if anybody's interested in hearing a little more on this, check out last Wednesday's broadcast of National Bugle Radio. I interviewed a Zoomer, and we did a little deep dive on the Groyper movement and played a few clips of Fuentes. Really exceptional young man, and I think it's a good direction. And I'll end it with that, Farron. Get your comments, and we'll move on.
Okay, Jeremy, that's Patrick's show.
National Bugle. I co-host every Wednesday, and we record on Tuesday night. So we did a good interview with a young man, and this Generation Z, they don't care about the Holocaust. They don't care about Israel. Like, they're, like, indifferent. Whether it happened or not is not even relevant to them. They care about right now, the here and now. What are you going to do for me? And that's what we need to tell our politicians. What are you going to do for me?
That's interesting. I wish I'd have got into the Groyper movement. Probably, maybe a lot of people that don't know. But hey, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Good points. Always enjoy your commentary, Jeremy. Let's go to Laura in Michigan, and Murr, I'll get you if I can. But Laura, thanks for holding. What's on your mind?
Hi, President Austin Brower, housemasters.com. They went over to Chick-fil-A. See, the original owner of Chick-fil-A passed away, the Christian man. Now it's been totally taken over by leftists. And he ran through all the things they're giving to. And believe me, there's no Christian giving anymore. That little milquetoast statement wasn't right. They're totally leftist now.
Wow. Well, I'm not surprised at all, so I appreciate you updating that.
We made Chick-fil-A third in fast food. We need to bring them down now. We got to boycott them. We got to spread the root word that they're no longer a Christian organization.
Well, it's just amazing how all these organizations attend, sooner or later are taken over, and then they move to the left. I mean, you look at the Boy Scouts. That's a perfect example. Anything else you'd like to say, Laura? And I appreciate you updating us on that.
That's all. But that's the word about Chick-fil-A. It's no longer a Christian business. And we got to stop going there.
Thank you so much. Let's go to Murr in Wisconsin. We're going to get everybody on. Murr, how you doing? Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Farron. Yeah, I sent you that Year of Jubilee with 1E, and it looks like they may need to update Jacob's address in there, but all the different prisoners are in there. yearofjubilee.com. That's 1E on Jubilee, like in the King James Bible. It's so good to hear Laura in Michigan. I haven't heard from her in a while. You know, her husband passed away about a year or so ago. And, it really hit her hard. And she's so right on. This is what we need to do. We need to swing with the punches, apparently. I'm getting hounded in another chat room, and I think I know who it is, and they're putting down all of us continually here. But number one problem is we're under a Jew debt system that we're all dependent on. So what you can do, and it doesn't have to be revolution. We don't need to turn things upside down. That's a Jew's game. Revolution and war, they win everything, including the orphans, okay? So don't fall for it, because they will take over. As soon as it gets really bloody, they make it more so. I mean, if you read about it, that's what's happened in every war before. They just step in and push everybody else aside, like the Bolsheviks. Any war, okay? This is their game. Don't play it. All they'll do is reset history and money. We didn't even hear about a Holocaust till after the Vietnam War. This is all lies. We don't have to play. Don't pay any attention to Talmudia. The movies, the music, the sports, it's all owned by them to control you. Look what they're doing to the children and the schools. You know, Eagle Forum is trying to get people staffed. Whether you like it or not, they are doing good, okay? And these people, all these different people that are donating their energy, like we're doing right now, like you're doing, Farron, like I'm doing, talking on this phone. This troll is putting down Frank and me in particular. It's so funny, just because we call in different shows. I think it's hilarious. But we don't love each other.
We're out of time for today. I appreciate the phone call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. We're out of time for today. Until next week, when they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan@hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity.